right. Thank you, Brother Brandon, so much. As the kids are going back to the pews there, go ahead and take your Bibles out tonight. If you'd open to the book of 1 Kings. Open to the book of 1 Kings. Boy, I was enjoying that so much, Brother Brandon. I almost forgot I had to come up and preach. No, that was good. All right. 1 Kings chapter 17 tonight. We're going to be looking at a few verses this evening, looking at a certain story here. Still here, a few pages turning there. We'll get right into it, starting in verse 1. Notice what it says here. It says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward. Hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Verse 4, And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land." Now notice this, this is where we're going to be spending the majority of our time tonight. The Bible says next, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he rose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And she was going to fetch, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it before me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, till the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went, did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days." I want us to look at this thought tonight, Zarephath, an illustration of faith and faithfulness. I found it interesting. We don't know a lot about the prophet Elijah's beginnings, and Elijah's probably one of my favorite characters in the Old Testament. He's got great boldness when it comes to doing what God has called him to do. And he lived in a very, what I would say, was a very difficult day. And from the very first introductions to this man, this prophet of Elijah, he is standing before a king and giving the word of God to him. And of course, we know what happens after that, but we notice that he was an individual that came from, we know that he came from Gilead. I think it's interesting in contrast to where he is going. Gilead was a sort of a mountainous country. It was had a great beauty, lots of vegetation. It was a very nice place. But as he comes, he stands before King Ahab, and now as he's at the brook Cherith, the Lord tells him to go to a place that is called Zarephath. And the very meaning of this word, Zarephath, has the idea of to try or to test. How many of you have ever had a trying week before? Let me see your hands. Maybe you've thought, boy, is the Lord trying to teach me something? There was a number of things, it seemed like last week, that came up that the Lord just seemed like he was trying to teach me a little bit of patience. You ever had those days before? And there was one day in particular, we had done quite a few things as a family, and we had gone to several stores as a family, and that's always fun with the little ones. And so it was getting close to nap time and that sort of thing, and they were starting to kind of show it a little bit as they were kind of getting a little tired. And so we came back to the house. We had just loaded up with a bunch of groceries, and I went ahead, was going to open the door and go into the house and then start, you know, unpacking the vehicle. And I went up to the door and I was looking for the house key and I couldn't find it. And I went back, I said, "Do you have the house key?" "No." "Do you I don't have the house key." "Oh, no." And through a series of miscommunications, nobody grabbed a house key on the way out the door. And at that moment, I went through in my mind and thought about how I had recently gone through and closed and made sure all of the windows were latched. And I knew exactly when that happened, we're not getting into our house anytime soon. Meanwhile, my mind is racing to the ice cream sandwiches that I personally picked out. And I could just visualize them melting in the car. You ever had a week like that? I just thought, boy, what is God trying to teach me right now? Well, you know, as I see Elijah here, goes from a place that we know he came from, Gilead, a beautiful mountainous place. The Lord's going to send him to a place of testing. But it's a place where faith will be exercised, and as a result, we will see great faithfulness on the part of a great God. Before we get into our outline tonight, let's pray. Lord God, we're thankful that, Lord, your word, Lord, is the cure-all, Father, for our hurt, Lord, for our testing. Lord, thank you for the comfort that we receive. Thank you, God, for, Lord, the real-life illustrations that you pinned down for us, Father, that we can look back to, Lord, and that can encourage our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you'd teach us some things as we look at some Bible principles tonight, and, Father, that you would help us to exercise faith, Lord, in this week that you have given us. Lord, we love you and we ask these things in your name. Amen. Notice with me, first of all, I see here a fresh path given to Elijah. A fresh path. Notice with me verse 8 here. Notice what's taking place. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath." We see the call comes to Elijah for him to get up and move. Now, Elijah, like I said, has exercised great boldness. He's done something that is extraordinary in that he has stood before a very wicked king, and knowing that the king would reject his plea and what the Lord had given him, he stands there in great faith and boldness, gives the message of God, and then the Lord tells him, "All right, now it's time to get." And he does, and he starts to flee, and Ahab and Jezebel, his wife, would start things in the process to try to find where he's at and to try to kill him. But that's kind of where he's coming from when the call of God comes to him. But we see here that when the call of God comes, he's sitting beside a dried up brook. Now, God has already worked a miracle in just a couple of verses. He's led him to a place that was somewhat secretive and led him beside a brook that has now brought him nourishment. Of course, we know the ravens were involved. They brought him food numerous times during the day. And he is living a real life miracle as he's seeing how God is providing for him as he's fleeing the king and the queen. But you know, God knows the situation that Elijah is in right now. And he knows the future and what that holds for him as well. And you know, I just wonder, as we take things from the perspective of Elijah, just exactly what might have been going through his head. Now, obviously, he was a prophet. We don't know how old he was at this point. We're not told the training that he went through or even when he began following the Lord God Jehovah. But this is a human being just like you and I. And I can imagine that as obviously there was a famine in the land, these ravens are bringing food to him as he's kind of perched there beside this brook, and the brook is flowing freely. Well, without any rain now, this brook begins to dry up. And it wasn't instantaneously. It was something that no doubt as he looked over, he probably began to notice over a period of time. Well, I noticed the brook is, you know, it's not flowing as freely as it once was. And maybe as he's sitting there and he sees that this is taking place over a matter of a few days, or I don't know how long it took, but maybe some thoughts came into his mind of what happens when my source of water dries up. And as that brook is getting smaller and smaller, it's at that moment that the Lord brings him new and fresh direction for the future. And he tells him here in verse 9, he says, "Hey, arise, get thee to Zarephath." So we see the call, he receives it, the Lord knows the situation that he's in and gives him direction for the next step. But notice specifically the command here. The command, he says, "Okay, get up and go." Now, where is he telling him to go exactly? Well, we already know by the fact that the name Zarephath means trying or testing, that he's probably headed into a difficult situation. Which this area of the country was actually ruled by Jezebel's father. Now, I want you to see this because I find this interesting, but notice with me, turn back just one chapter to chapter 16. Notice verse, find it here. Notice verse 31 of chapter 16, 1 Kings. We say, "And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him," talking about Ahab, "to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians. And he went and served Baal and worshipped him." So this gives us a little idea of what Jezebel and Jezebel's family was like. All right, this is the region that Zarephath is located in. All right, so this is a Gentile area that the Lord is sending Elijah to, but it's also inhabited with people that do not worship the God Jehovah. In fact, they have very strong connections to Baal. In fact, Jezebel's father, half of his name is Baal. And so this was not a comfortable place for him to go, but the Lord is sending him there. And the command is very strong, it's very direct. He says, "Arise and go to Zarephath." And he goes to this area of the country. We see the call, we see the command. Notice, though, the challenge that is at hand. Notice the turn back to chapter 17 and notice in verse 9 here, he says, "Get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there." Has God ever asked you to do anything that was difficult? Like you just knew in your heart that the Lord was leading you to do something. Maybe it was the Holy Spirit. Maybe, you know, often when we're out and about and you get burdened for an individual, maybe it's the clerk, or maybe it's, you know, a conversation you're having with a stranger and you feel like Holy Spirit just puts into your mind, hey, maybe now would be a good time to ask him about church or something like that, or maybe something unrelated. You know, I remember when I was in college, and I had different friends there, but there was one guy that was a little bit older than me, and I'd started to get to know him, and we were involved in a ministry where we ended up seeing a lot of each other and working quite often together. And so we struck up somewhat of a friendship, but I noticed that after a little while, that it almost seemed like I was beginning to detect that I was kind of maybe, I don't know, was I getting on his nerves, or did I say something, or, you know, I just noticed that our conversation back and forth was just a little strained. And just, anybody ever been there before? You've had it, and you just couldn't put your finger on it. And, you know, as time went on, the worse it kind of got. And I thought, boy, you know, I really feel like things are not right here. And you know, I remember just falling under conviction one day. I felt like the Lord was wanting me to go to him and to talk about some of the things that you know, may have led us to that point. And I remember that was just a very difficult thing to do. I, you know, I just those are tend to be awkward conversations that nobody likes to have. And so I decided, you know, I'm just going to do it and I'll feel better about it and I won't have to worry about it anymore. So I went to him and we started talking about it, and it was awkward, but I was able to then try to reach out and we had a good conversation, but I still felt like, boy, I just don't know, was that the right thing? Yeah, what was interesting about the whole thing was a couple of years later, when he and I were talking, he hadn't said it years before, but he did say, you know, I appreciate the fact that you came to me at that time. I know that that wasn't an easy thing to do, and I was dealing with some things, but I just appreciate you. You know, that sometimes the Lord asks us to do very difficult things and that are not easy. But that we know we ought to do. Well, I just wonder if that's where Elijah is. The command of God comes. He tells him, hey, I want you to go to Zarephath, this somewhat unpleasant place to people that you don't know. And he so obediently goes as the Lord's commanded. And we see the challenge. This isn't just a place that he's going to just pass through. The Bible says, God tells him here, hey, I want you to dwell there. Okay, this isn't, hey, an overnight stay, but I want you to go to Zarephath, and you're going to spend a little bit of time there. God doesn't tell him, but he tells him that you're going to dwell there. Has there ever been a project or something that you've done that was just didn't move along as fast as you wanted to, and you felt like you were in a dwell there situation? We just, about a month ago, moved into our own home, and we had some desires of things that we wanted to accomplish during the first couple of weeks that we moved in. Obviously, unpacking was one of those things, but another thing was, hey, we wanted to paint the cabinets, all right? How many of you have ever painted your kitchen cabinets before? I want to see these heroes in the room today. All right, yes, the mighty. No, all right. So I was like, I had these grand ideas. It's going to take, you know, this amount of time, and we're going to get it done and all of that. Well, it did not go as fast as I wanted it to. And it seemed like every step of the way, there was a hang-up or something like that. So we move in, you know, we've still got the doors are not on the walls, you know, for the cabinets, and we're just kind of living that way. Well, meanwhile, I had started a project on the banister, painting a banister. Anybody ever painted a banister stair rail? Anybody ever done that? Okay, well, I started that, and as, you know, to do it, of course, my wife wanted to a two-tone look. Okay, it couldn't all be the same color, but anyway, we've taken care of that since. But anyway, she said, you know, let's go two-ton spindles one color and then handrail the other. And so, you know, I said, okay, all right, do that. But to do a complete pass, all right, of one coat, 3 hours. I mean, just painstaking. So I've got one coat, all right, one coat on. It looks bad. Okay, it needs several more. The kitchen cabinets are, you know, they're not hanging. You know, we've got boxes everywhere, and I just felt like I'm in a dwell there moment, you know. I can't be settled over here or settled over there or anything. And sometimes we do feel unsettled, but you know, there are times that we just have to be still. And as hard as that is to do, we just have to finish the verse and say, you know what, I'm going to be still and know that you are God. We see the command and the challenge, but the comfort that is given here to Elijah at the end of verse 9. I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. The needs were provided. Number one, we see a fresh path for Elijah brings new opportunities for God to work. You know, new things are exciting. New direction in life can be exciting. New plans can be exciting. But sometimes they're not always positive changes that we go through. Sometimes they're difficult things as well. And certainly we could say, well, I guess I'm just going to have to endure. Or we could look at it in the sense of, hey, this is an opportunity where God can show forth His power and His provision, even if it's not the greatest of circumstances. A fresh path for Elijah brought new opportunities for God to work. We've got to move quickly, but let me show you the second thing tonight. Notice this, a fascinating promise given to the woman. So what takes place after this? The Bible says, so he rose and went to Zarephath, and he came to the gate of the city, verse 10, behold, a widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Then, of course, she begins to give her side of what's going on in her life. We notice, first of all, the woman's doubt. The woman doubt. Notice what she says here in verse 12. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Can you imagine being in the situation of this poor widow? I mean, let's step back from Elijah's perspective and go into her shoes. Here she is in a situation as she's watched the food dwindle from day to day, understanding that she had no help, no source of provision, no nothing. And here she is preparing herself mentally and physically for her and her son's death. I cannot imagine being in this situation. But she tells it for how it is, and we see that here, you know, she's at a different place than Elijah was. You know, she wasn't sitting by that brook as the ravens came and began dropping off food. She's at another place, but we understand that she is a God-fearing woman because of the way she addresses Elijah. But God's going to use this situation to grow this widow's faith in a mighty way. Notice not only the woman's doubt, but notice what Elijah says to her. Notice Elijah's demand, verse 13 and 14. Notice what it says. It says, And Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Notice the words here of Elijah are threefold. He starts off with encouragement. He says, Fear not. You know, sometimes we have to confront our fear regarding certain situations before faith can take root. We have to turn from our instinct, which is to fear a situation or be apprehensive, and say no to that and turn to the Lord in faith. And he's encouraging her to do that. He says, hey, don't fear about this situation. Fear not. But it also involved enlightenment. Notice what he says, verse 14. He says, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. You know, I would think this had to be comforting to her. I can imagine as Elijah is saying, Fear not, and then he begins to break into the fact that the Lord has spoken through him. You know, I don't know how much exposure this widow had to the Word of God in Zarephath, but I would venture to say it probably wasn't much. And I wonder if she's sitting there and standing there having this conversation with the prophet, and as he lifts up and telling her to fear not and begins to say, hey, the Lord is looking out for you. The Lord has a plan for this situation. The Lord is speaking through me. I can imagine great thoughts of comfort filled her heart. And really, Elijah here is reminding her of the provision of God. I have a few verses that I found that I think will bless your heart. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. We find, Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Proverbs 16 and verse 3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. 1 John 5 and verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Psalm 121 and verse 3. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Psalm 145 and verse 18, The Lord is nigh unto them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Philippians 4:19, one of my favorites, But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, when the Lord speaks, it ought to bring comfort to our heart and to our soul. For the woman here, she's listening to these words as Elijah's giving them, words of encouragement, enlightenment from the Lord, and then also words of excitement. He says these words, "The barrel shall not waste, neither the cruse of oil fail." A fascinating promise for the woman gave strength in this time of weakness. Notice the last and final thing tonight for your outline. A faithful provision. A faithful provision gave confidence for the future. Notice verse 15 here. "And she went, did according to the saying of Elijah. She and he in her house did eat many days." A faithful provision gave confidence for the future. This miracle of God shows us a couple of things. Number one, we see the grace of this situation. You know, God, in one mighty act, provided for the needs of three people in one act. You know, Elijah comes into this situation thinking, where's my next meal coming from? Where's the provision coming from? The widow got up that day thinking, well, this is the last meal we've got. Where's that provision coming from? And then we think about even from the perspective of this son, we're not told how old he is, but understandably, he probably sees what's taking place and understands that there's no more food in the cupboard and this is the last meal that they will enjoy. But oh, wow, how even a boy's faith could be grown through a situation like this, a faithful provision. We see the grace of it God gave to three very special people. We see the greatness of it. For years, until it rained, every meal was a miracle for the widow, her son, and Elijah. God worked a miracle every single day. And then we see, thirdly, the glory of it. I love this. Notice, "And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah." We see the glory in it. Every day, God would get the glory from this situation. You know, I was thinking about this. You know, there were situations when God dealt where he blessed in full measure. I think about, you know, the feeding of the 5,000 and how there were 12 basketfuls left over afterwards, and certainly plenty of food for the coming days. But as I think about this, you know, God didn't just give Elijah, 12 you know, buckets full and 12 years worth or 3 years worth of food for this situation. God didn't choose to do it this way. He did it in such a way that every day that they would go to the oil, and they would look in there and it would be just enough for what they would need. And they'd put it back on the shelf and it would be empty. And then they'd go back the next day and they'd look in there ready to make their meal again. And God had given them again just enough to meet the need. You know, there are some times that the Lord does give us that 12 basketfuls, but there are other times in our lives when he chooses to receive the glory every single day. Every day that the widow and the son and Elijah looked in the cupboard, they would have to look upward and say, "Lord, thank you again for providing for this day." You know, truth be known, we ought to do that no matter whether we receive the full portion or whether it's little by little. But certainly we can be thankful for the faithful provision that so often gives us confidence for the future. I go back to the keys and not having them, but them being in the house. I proceeded to go around the house just double-checking windows here and there, climbing as best I could to the second story. I know if my neighbors, I haven't met them yet, but they probably think we're pretty weird. As I'm scaling the house, trying to find something, you know, the screens, and maybe some of you have these, but I remember growing up, the screens always, you just push them up and they come right out. Well, not these. These have to be released from the inside of the house, right? And so I'm doing all this, nothing's happening. And one thought occurred to me, and around the side of the house, I had been painting a few weeks ago, and I knew that we had opened some of the windows, but I was almost positive that I had closed and latched all of them. Well, I went around to the side, and I began working on one of those small little windows, and I had to tear the screen out, but I pushed on the window, and one side had not latched. And so I was able to prop it up and then get the other side and lift it up and go in. But you know what the neat thing about the whole thing was? God used that story to show Philip and Andrew that God is real. After we got back in the house and I opened the door and looked back out to the car, and my wife, had that look of thank you. She told me as she was coming in, you know what we were doing? We were asking the Lord to help you to get in the house. And you know, that's just a little thing, but you know, I think so often there are times that the Lord, knowing the direction that we're headed, knowing the things that will transpire, often just cracks the window in our life a little bit and allows us to see His presence all afresh and know that He is who He said He is and that He is a wonderful God that provides in our lives. Let's bow for prayer tonight. I don't know what your week has been like. Maybe it has been a week of testing. Maybe the Lord has been maybe testing your patience a little bit to see how faithful or see where you're at spiritually. Maybe you're facing some changes in your life. Maybe it's a fresh new path that you're looking at. And maybe you need to ask the Lord tonight to help you to look at it in a positive light, in the sense that, hey, this is something that in which the Lord can display His power and His presence all anew. Maybe you're in need of just zeroing in on some of God's promises in His Scripture, hanging on to what the Lord has said and then acting upon it. And it's a wonderful thing when we're able to see and grow from the things that the Lord accomplishes when we're obedient to Him. We're just going to take a little bit of time tonight, give an invitation, but if the Lord's dealt with your heart, the altar's open. If you'd like to pray about something before we go to our breaking up of prayer time, as the altar is open and the pianist begins to play, if you would like to come forward and pray, you're welcome. She'll play a few verses, and then we'll go to our prayer time.